Thank you. I'm really excited to be sharing with you. Can you hear me? Up higher? How's that? Is that better? Okay, thank you. Before we start, a couple things I'd like to say. I'd like to really thank Colleen for putting together the books. She helped me so much with editing and getting everything formatted beautifully. She spent some of Super Bowl Sunday working on it. And I'd also like to just thank her for the hours putting everything together. She's the best. Thank you, Colleen. And thank you for those women who stayed to collate it. It's kind of a big project. And also for the leaders and all of you who have encouraged me and my wonderful table, too. So I'd like to just start with a prayer. Please pray with me. Thank you, Lord, that you have created us in your image. Thank you for giving us your spirit that we can grow in. You are our Savior, and we pray also that we will sense you as our Lord in every aspect of our life as we walk with you and as we manifest the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit that you have given to each and every one of us. I pray that as we go through the different aspects of the fruit today and through these 9 weeks, that you speak to everyone's heart and help us all to see growth and to be able to be encouraged and equipped and to celebrate with each other at the end of this journey. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my page. One of the things I discovered in studying, and let me back up, what I'm going to do is talk a little bit about the fruit and then talk a little bit about what we'll be doing in the coming 9 weeks. But one of the things that I learned in studying about the fruit of the Spirit was that it's not fruits. Sometimes people say these are various fruits, but it's actually one fruit, one manifestation. And as a 18th century theologian, Jonathan Edwards, said, it's a concatenation of the graces of Christianity. You don't get one part with all the other parts growing. So when one part grows, one aspect grows, the other aspects grow. When you have more love, you have more patience and peace and so on. And I think a good way to think of that is with our body. Sometimes we have certain areas of strength in our body, and that brings strength to the rest of your body. And you notice when you have an injury, that also takes down your strength and maybe your balance or your ability to avoid injury. So what we want to do is look at areas where we can strengthen. We all have certain strengths, and then we all have areas that we need to grow in. And the binder has two parts. One is the journal part. That's what I'll be going over today. The rest of it is just a background study on communication through the various aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Over the 9 weeks after, or 8 weeks after today, you will have a speaker talking about each of the aspects. So someone will talk about love, peace, patience, joy, etc., and all of the fruit, and then we will look at those. So I'm going to go through the journal, which is, and it has kind of a challenge for you to actually do a little bit of homework each week. I'd say 15 minutes minimally. And I know that's, that for some of you, that's too much because of where you are in life right now. Like with kids around, you're maybe taking care of parents, you working, whatever it is, so don't feel guilty about that. But if you should choose to accept the challenge, what I'd like to do is have you think about one aspect that you'd like to grow in. And I'm going to go through a list that reflects what I've done in my classes over the decades. Years ago, when I was teaching interpersonal communication, I went to a conference, and I got a project that I could do with my students, and I wanted to make the interpersonal course not just theory about how communication works, but something practical that they could use in their lives on a daily basis. So this project was great. It was called the Skill Package. It had 35 skills initially, and over the years, my students came up with other skills that they wanted to work on. And the idea was they would choose one skill, work on that skill little by little over the semester. And what ended up happening was I was finding that they were kind of improving just on their own by working on it, by doing the different journal aspects. And I passed it on to some of my other teachers in the department. They had the same experience. Their students were finding by the end of the semester, I'm really better at listening, or I can say no now, or I'm overcoming my shyness, whatever the skill was that they were working on. And I thought it would be so great to do this in a group of people of faith, because not only do we have our ability to work on things and persevere, but we have the Holy Spirit. So it's perfect. So I'm really thrilled to see what might happen for those who do choose to work on a specific skill. And even if you don't want to do any of the journal activities, which I'll be going over, it's okay. Just be thinking about, is there an area of my life, my communication, especially with God and with other people, that I could improve? Is there anything that I could get a little better at and that it would manifest the fruit in my life? So what I'd like to do is go through these characteristics. And if you choose to think about something you want to improve on, there's two things that I've found work really well. One is pick something you're not good at, you need to work on. And then, what's the second one? That would make your life better. That would be a big improvement in your life. So something you need, don't pick something you're already good at. You know, if you already have upper body strength, you don't need to keep doing that. You know, work on your legs, you know, whatever it is. So we want to improve in an area that would really help us. And I almost, if I was selling this, I would say, I guarantee you will improve if you think about it for the next 8 weeks and actually do some of the exercises. So, okay, let's go through. These are some areas, and what this is also in your binder. I think it's on page 2. If you're thinking, maybe you could put a little check by the ones that you think maybe I could improve in this area, and it would make my life better, and it would also help me to manifest God's Spirit with everyone with whom I come in contact. So the first is forgiveness. And this might be the hardest, because we have to forgive when we're betrayed, when we're hurt, when we suffer a loss at someone else's hands. So there's two aspects of forgiveness. One is just letting it go, and that's very difficult. And I think I love the scripture where Peter asks, how many times do I have to forgive? Is it 7 times? And Jesus said 70 times 7. We may have to keep forgiving that same person, but instead of ruminating and being resentful and upset and angry, we're working on letting it go. There's a person named Lewis Smedes who said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that prisoner was you. So sometimes we really do have to let go of something in order for us to gain. Think of it as a gift to yourself. Then the second aspect of forgiveness is actually involving reconciliation, which can be done if the other person who hurt you is remorseful and apologetic and wants to move forward and they're sincere. And sometimes we get stiff-necked about that, and I'm not going to forgive them even though they're doing everything they can to be forgiven. So that's only you would know in your situation which kind of forgiveness needs to be done. But when we're walking around with unforgiveness, that can really disturb our peace. So let's go through a few more of these. Controlling the tongue, think before you speak, or act, or email, or text. How many of you have ever regretted something you said or texted? And it's like, I think you can delete the text now, but I'm not sure, and emails. And then, but it's a really important thing to really be guided when you have that check in your spirit of, oh, I shouldn't be saying this, but it'd be funny, or I shouldn't be saying this, but I'm angry, to actually have that check. And sometimes it's not even your fault, like with autocorrect. I once had a friend that she was going through something, and I sent her a little text saying, remember, you're very dear to me. And I hadn't heard from her, and I thought, that's interesting. So I went back to check the text, and it said, remember, you are dead to me. Oh my gosh. So autocorrect can be very difficult to deal with. But so sometimes it's not our fault. Then the next is expressing kindness. So just taking the time to express appreciation and love and kindness to others. And also I thought about, it's important to express kindness to ourselves as well. Like if you find yourself always accusing yourself or putting yourself down or kicking yourself, to think, I don't need to do that. I can be kind to myself as well. I have a lot of students who are nurses because they have to take the class for nursing. And I've learned that the highest rate of bladder infection is in the nursing community, because they are constantly serving everybody else and not taking time for themselves. So being kind to yourself could be what you work on. And as we go through this list, think about, I just pick one thing. Like, I'm always picking a different one over the, you know, each semester for myself, but just pick one, because just focusing on one thing and steeping yourself in that will bring it up in all kinds of ways as you go through. Then four, being angry without sinning. So God doesn't tell us not to be angry. There are things that will make us angry, but without adding to sin through anger. And then five, listening and counseling. This has a lot of different aspects. When you think about the area where you'd like to grow, it doesn't have to be, you can customize it to yourself. So like there are a lot of different little phrases here. You might, if one of them stands out, you might underline that and say, yeah, this would be a good area for me to work on. So help somebody by discussing their problem. And I think a big issue I've seen in a lot of groups, and you may have noticed it in various groups, is that people jump to advice very quickly. And so sometimes we want to help so much that we want to fix the other person. And sometimes our advice isn't what they need. Sometimes we need to have a lot of patience in listening and following through on what they need to figure out for themselves. Okay, and then not being codependent. So that you take on their problem and you're constantly thinking about their issue and you can't let that go. That could be what you need to work on. I had, later on we're going to talk about how do you pick which one you want to work on. I have students of all ages from 18 to 80 at the community college. It's great, the diversity is great. And one mom asked her teenage girls which things she needed to work on, and they said, you're listening, you're not a great listener, which she was horrified and shocked and thought she had been a great listener. But what was fun was when she was doing her journal activities, they were helping her, and it was wonderful. And at the end, they all became a little bit closer, so there can be those extra benefits. So another choice would be faithfulness to God. And there maybe, again, there are different ways. For some, it may be I need to pray more regularly, or I need to read the word, or I need to worship, or I just need to be still and know that he is God. That's what I need to do. Or I need to wait. I need to be patient and wait without anxiety and trust that God has me and is going to work this together, and just keep going back to that trust. So that might be what would guide you for the next weeks. The next is having integrity. So keeping small or large commitments. Read an interesting study on sometimes when we're late chronically, it's because we actually don't want to do whatever it is that we're late for. So if you're chronically late, like looking at that, or falling through on other commitments. I've downsized recently and promised my kids that I would get rid of stuff so they won't have to. So it's really hard. So I've been working on that and will continue. Then the next is digital detoxing. This is one of the ones that my students came up with and said, this is what I want to work on. And if you notice, you know, just when you walk down the street, or even you go to a restaurant and there's a group and everyone in the group is on their phone because they're so tempting. There's so many good things. And now we also have Netflix and we have TV and we have social media. And it's some people have just taken the time to just cut back. And that's the thing that they work on, to be able to spend more time with their loved ones or more time with God, to just look at how do I cut back, how do I not do what Neil Postman was a writer a few decades ago, and he was writing in the 80s, but he wrote a book called Amusing Ourselves to Death. And he said, we don't need a 1984 kind of government to control us. We can just be completely oblivious and controlled because we're constantly entertaining ourselves. And it's really hard to resist, but if that's one, that would be something to work on. Then setting boundaries. This one is very popular in my classes. It's to not be people-pleasing, to be able to say no. And it's really difficult for people who are, and I think especially for women, but for people who really want to love and help others and we're called upon to help, to be able to set limits and boundaries. Because when we say yes to one thing, we're saying no to another thing. So if we're saying yes to a lot of extra things, we might be saying no to our loved ones. And so it's like, that's an area to think about, why do I have trouble saying no and can I work on that? Okay. Setting boundaries also could include diminishing a toxic relationship. There was a psychologist, Fritz Perls, who said, in every relationship, you're either nourished or you're poisoned. So we want to eliminate those poison relationships and focus in on the nourishing ones and take care of the nourishing ones. Okay, make sure I'm on the right. Okay, overcoming shyness, by far the most chosen skill that my students work on. It's, I would say, a third to a half to even more every semester works on overcoming shyness. And there's all kinds of little phrases under here, but it would be whatever is relevant. For some people, it's like, I just can't be alone, or I can't go anywhere alone. Or for others, it's like, I'm afraid to ask other people if I can be included in their group, or I'm afraid to participate in a group. And what I've realized, and you'll see there are some testimonies of students, recent students who've been working on their skill package. And the one on overcoming shyness said that she realized that because there are so many other shy individuals, that she can reach out to someone else who seems like they could use somebody reaching out to them, and made new friends as a result. Okay, then evangelizing, this is not in my secular course, but God does call on us to share our faith. And sometimes that's the hardest thing for some of us, so that might be something you'd work on, is how can I share more where I go with people I meet, or actually maybe even join some kind of group that evangelizes or shares. I wouldn't be here if my students hadn't evangelized to me, so it's important. Then 12, I'm always super admiring of students who choose this, which is accepting responsibility and accountability, apologizing. It's admitting your own wrongs. And we can own our own part, even if the other person's 95% wrong. We can do our 5%. And so I think working on being more accountable is something that is a way that God can work with us. Then being fair-minded, I have something on this. Being fair-minded is listening to others and not going beyond what they're saying and not stereotyping people. And that also goes, 14 and 15 kind of go together. You could pick or choose some phrases from that. Loving others who are different from you. And in this very polarized part of time that we're living in, sometimes it's really difficult for people to have challenging conversations, but this might be an area to work on. It's like, instead of dreading talking to that relative or person in your life that you disagree with, to just, there's a one psychologist that came up with what he called the 5% rule, which is find the 5% of what they're saying that you can agree with. And start there and see if you can find some common ground. And then, you know, you can agree to disagree peacefully, because we always want to be at peace even if we disagree. Also, in terms of being fair-minded, I asked Pat Thompson if I could use some phrases from, she cited in the kindness chapter of the study. Pat signed up, I don't know if you remember, a group called Hope Beyond that came here and ask people to be pen pals to prisoners. And Pat, you know, they asked for you to sign up to be one, a pen pal to one prisoner. Pat signed up for four, of course. So she's been ongoing with these four, but she shared a very important rule, and she said, when you sign up, they ask you not to Google the person and find out what they had done to get them in prison, because then you'll stereotype them. And then you won't treat them with the respect. And as Pat put it, when you meet someone, you don't ask them all of the most terrible things they've ever done in their life. You know, that's not how we get to know people. So I think it's that can apply also to just people in our daily life, that we tend to put in a little box and I can't talk to that person, instead of maybe giving them a chance and seeing if you can develop a relationship with them. Okay, I know I need to move on. Okay, these are the last skills. There's actually 41 in my class, so you know you're getting off easy here. So 16, asking for help. Sometimes I think as women especially, we love to give help, and it's hard for us to ask for help. But if you think, even Jesus asked for help, he asked for people to be with him in his hour of need. You know, he was not ashamed to ask for help. And I know Patty Francis always says, it gives other people the opportunity to be a blessing if you ask them to help you. So it's like overcoming that pride of asking. And then being independent, there's just to break this down, it's to be able to be different from the group. So if people are gossiping about someone, to be able to not join in. Or if you need to stand up for someone or for some principle, to be able to be independent, even though you might feel like you're alone, to be able to stand up and do that. Then 18, taking the time to show appreciation. It might be to people in your life that, let me just spend this time over these 9 weeks thinking of people in my life I can just give an encouraging appreciation note to or call, or to have a gratitude journal, be grateful to God, show appreciation that way. Showing calmness. Sometimes, again, I have a lot of nurses and they have to work on, they have to act calm, even when other people are going through something very stressful. And same as when you're a parent, you have to show calmness even through stress. We sometimes get triggered too, like we'll be calm and then that person triggered me. But it's like if you feel like you have you react instead of responding, that would be an area that you could work on. Overcoming perfectionism, I stole this from a talk someone else did earlier in this meeting, who was talking about not having to be a perfectionist. I thought that's a great skill to work on. Experiencing more of your efforts as good enough, and reframing things, not seeing things as negative, but more accurately, I am doing all of these things, so I don't have to be perfect at this thing. And then finally, working on one particular relationship. So it may be that nothing is standing out to me as something I need to improve on, but I really have this one relationship that's very challenging to me. And it could be a parent, it could be a child, it could be a sister-in-law, it could be a friend, someone that you're really struggling with, it could be a spouse. And can you think of some areas where you could work on that one relationship? And there's a testimony of one woman who worked on her relationship with her son who was going through some struggles. So that's another option. So you might choose, I need to bring more listening, or I need to set more boundaries, or I need to show more appreciation, or be more fair-minded in this relationship. And how do you do that? Okay, so how do you pick which skill to work on? Okay, so you can read this list and pray about your choice, or something you need that jumps out at you, something you know you need to work on. That kind of goes with three, something that would make your life or your spiritual walk or your relationships stronger and more fulfilling with other people. Earlier, we had a word of the year. We picked the word of the year. So you might relate, how does my word of the year relate to this? So if you chose peace, like which skills would enhance my peace? Maybe I need to forgive, or maybe I need to set boundaries. Maybe I need to work on one of these areas to increase my peace with other people and with God. Next one can be dangerous. Ask somebody you trust what you should work on. And I was up in the middle of the night last night just going through some of this and listened to New Life Live, which is a counseling show, and they were suggesting that somebody ask, what's it like to be my child, to their child? Or what's it like to be my parent to your parent? Or what's it like to be my spouse? That's a dangerous question. But if you steel yourself and get ready not to rage at them after you get the answer, it can be really helpful. And they can tell you, I really wish you would do more of this or that. Like if you ask them, what would really make our relationship better? And it may seem a weird question to ask, but now that you have the journal, you could say, I have to do this. You know, I have to do this for moms. I know it's stupid, but, you know, can you give me feedback on how do you think, where do you think I need to improve? And then another thing would be to do the Secure Connector assessment, which I hope we're going to have time to do before we go to the groups. I just want to go through the journal really quickly. So the journal is just like one page a week, and you can go in any order, but I have it by week one, week two. And it's, you just choose one thing to do each week. So if you start off with writing, you might just write down, how would my life improve if I had this skill? Or where is the time I needed this skill and I didn't have it? That might motivate you. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you lose a lot? Okay. How are we doing? Oh. Are we okay? Okay. So writing about your skill, you might choose one thing to write, and what I was saying was, for example, how would my life improve? These questions are given. Just pick one. How would my life improve if I had this skill? Really, you could do that in a few minutes. Just write that, and that's it. Then your homework's done. Again, no pressure. Don't feel like you have to. If you're like me, sometimes in WOW, I do the homework all in one night, you know, or morning before we meet, although it's better to stretch it out. Getting feedback, you can ask somebody, how do you see me as a forgiving person, or how could I improve on this? Or one of the fun things with doing this in general is you can do it with other people. So it's a fun thing to do with kids. Like if you're working on saying no, you can ask a bunch of questions. That would be feedback. Like, do you ever feel like you have to say no to someone? Or how do you deal with that? And just have a general discussion. And again, you can blame it on the journal if they think it's strange. Okay. Then reading about the skill, there are tons of blogs and podcasts you can listen to, books that you can get on virtually all of these. And I put my email at the bottom of each journal because I've been working on this with students over the years. They've sent me good resources that I can pass on to you if you like. Four is observing the skill, observing somebody else who has the skill, and interviewing them. Like, you are so good at saying no. Or you're such a good listener, you know, tell me about that. Again, it only really takes a few minutes. Then the most important one is practicing the skill. And that may come up at a strange time, so that's why you don't have to go in any particular order. I've had more than a few students say, my boss asked me to work overtime, and I was going to say yes, and then I thought, wait, I could be doing my homework. No, I can't do this. So then, or they're working on shyness, and someone invites them to a party where they don't know anyone, and they think no, but they say, I could be doing my homework. So they go, and they meet people, and it turns out to be a good experience. So the practice, I believe God will work with you and bring that practice to you at odd times. And so just write what happened. And then teaching the skill to someone else, a lot of times students will say, well, I'm trying to work on this skill, I can't teach this, but oftentimes we learn the most when we have to teach something. And a lot of my students have taught their kids the skill they're working on, or they've taught their parents. Like they'll say, my mom has trouble with this particular thing, so we just had a discussion about it. And you're teaching them what you learned, or it's a few bullet points from an article you read. And then the last is just kind of fun, but it's symbolizing the skill. I know a lot of you are artistic, or you might write poems, or you can even think about how does this relate to something that's going on in the news. Or take photographs, just do something creative thinking about your skill. So what I tell my students is, this is not a hard academic assignment. This will be one of the easiest academic assignments you've ever done, but it should hurt a little. It should be a little challenging, because whenever we stretch them, and whether you're working on, you know, stretching a muscle, or whether you're working on changing a bad habit or improving as a person, there will be a stretch we're trying to, but we've got God, you know, and so we can always ask for his help in doing that. So if we have it, I think Kristen and Patty took the little assessment that you have. I believe it's on, I think it's on page 7. Secure Connector Assessment. It's one more way to look at where do I need to grow as a person through the Spirit's enabling. And this comes from a book by Mylan and Kay Yurkovich called How We Love. And they wrote about attachment styles. How do we attach to other people and also to God? And they said there are, they named, you could go on their website, it's called howwelove.com, and you can actually get a more in-depth assessment results, but you have to give your email. So for right now, we'll just take this at the tables. But what they said was there are ways based on how we were brought up that we don't connect as well to others as we should, like we might avoid, or we might be people-pleasing, or we might be a controller or a victim in our relationships. And they said the secure connector can have good, solid relationships, express their feelings, listen to others, be able to accept feedback, be able to say no, be able to forgive, all of these areas. So if we can have the time to just take 5 minutes and fill out that connector form and then go to our groups to discuss. Thank you so much.